So for those of you just joining us, Jason asked that if... Okay. He asked if headphones are ear glasses, then what is mouth glasses? I said retainer.
I think it's a megaphone.
Fuck you.
Okay. Oh, no, a microphone.
Microphone.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there we go.
There
That's
we
much
go.
Better.
That makes so much sense.
The things
sense.
That we're currently speaking into. So we're currently using
How did I
mouth
not
glasses
think of this? It's literally in front of my face.
And wearing ear glasses. And then Sean and I are also wearing eyeglasses.
I hate this conversation.
And I'm not because I have perfect vision.
Okay, so this is Course Correction. And as you can probably tell, it is a podcast where three students just kind of make some university courses. Because we're all students. We've taken a lot of university courses. And we are devoted to taking people's ideas and making them into pseudo-reality. None of our courses have come true yet. None of them have fully materialized onto the physical plane, but man, we're trying. And we're gonna get it eventually.
Because right now we're just like lying for 45 minutes every other week. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, but eventually it's gonna be great. And speaking of oh, by the way, my name is Sean.
I'm Melanie.
I'm Jason.
Wonderful. Our course from last episode, the Furta Boys, how to be a Furta Boy. Oh, no, we changed it. It was
Furta Boy culture.
Furta Boy culture.
Yeah.
The anthropology of Furta Boys. Did very well, but we also, I guess not completely unwittingly, caused a 300-fold increase in Furta Boys. Furta Boy retention and proliferation. So, I mean, it's actually a huge problem. Like, they're eating crops. They're just, like, kind of roaming across.
The city is overrun with Furta Boys.
They're just roaming across, like, the prairies, just, like, locust-like, bringing desolation upon everything that they touch. And it's directly our fault, but...
Oh, well.
But oh, well. You know what? If every omelet was perfect, then there wouldn't be... Oh, I don't know.
You gotta crack a few eggs, eh, Sean?
Yeah, you gotta crack some eggs. What's the thing that Steven Universe's dad keeps saying?
If every pork chop was perfect, we wouldn't have hot dogs.
Oh, yeah. That's what I was trying to say, but I could not remember that it was about hot dogs.
Omelets are okay, too.
If every omelet was perfect, we wouldn't have scrambled eggs, right?
That's what I was saying.
Scrambled eggs are mediocre omelets.
Scrambled eggs are omelets that you ruined. Except, I'm saying that, but I can make some really good scrambled eggs. And now, welcome to Sean's Scrambled Egg Cast. I have two guests today, Melanie Woods and Jason Herring. First thing, Jason, what's your problem with scrambled eggs?
I think scrambled eggs are the worst way to prepare eggs.
Oh, I invite you to my cast, cast.
I'm sure you've got some fine scrambled eggs, but I'd also like to see you maybe make some other better eggs.
Okay, scrambled eggs actually take effort, though.
This is violence.
You just crack an egg in a pan, and oh, it's sunny side up.
What effort does it take? You, like, mash it with your fork until it becomes all scrambly.
Listen, I have... It takes me a lot of... Okay, so this is what you do. You get, like, you get a vessel, you crack the two eggs into it, you whip them for, like, 5 minutes straight, because then they get all puffy and, like, air-filled, and then you melt, like, an entire stick of butter into a pan, and then you cook them for, like, 10 seconds, and then they're so light and fluffy and delicious. Oh, it's so good.
Do you eat your scrambled eggs with ketchup?
Get off. Get out. Okay. This is done. This is over.
I'm sorry, Sean.
I do. I love ketchup on all
Both
things.
Of you are fiends of the highest order.
Ketchup improves every food item.
Let's do a real podcast, please, before I lose my mind. So we didn't get very many Twitter submissions. So instead, I asked my coworkers what they would like to take as a class. Alternately, I asked them, like, just for kind of goofy class ideas, because, you know, I wanted to challenge us, you know.
We could use a challenge.
We can use a challenge, because we've just been knocking it out of the park 100%. Just a perfect hit rate from us.
I will say, though, I had some intel from an insider in Furta Boy world that we missed some key points on Furta Boy culture. So, you know,
okay, like what? 10. Give me one.
Apparently, the Furta Boy mating call is that if a boy is interested in a girl, he will phone her and perform an acoustic rendition of Yellow by Coldplay.
No, he won't.
That's
garbage.
In order to my girlfriend has dated a lot of Furta Boys.
That is a rough thing.
And that has
hear.
Happened to her on multiple occasions.
Oh, my God.
Yellow, though?
Yellow by Coldplay
Yellow?
And Wonderwall.
Well, shit. Now I hate that song. It was an okay song, Yellow, but now that I know it's the Furta Boy mating call.
It is the Furta Boy mating call.
Literally, because they call on a phone. So it's just like, during.
Hey.
Earth this song for you.
Jada, are you there? Hey, listen to this.
Yeah, I imagine I imagine it's exactly like that.
Oh my god. I would pay so much to hear one of those. Like a genuine just like to listen to phone tap that happening, because that would be beautiful. It's like a David Attenborough documentary.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're like, for the first time we're going to hear on tape. Okay, so the courses are suggested by CJSW. Folks, the first one sounds at first really dull. Comic book history. But it's not the history of comic books. It's the history of, like, the comic book universes. So, like, getting you up to date with all the, like, crazy lore in, like, DC and Marvel. It's
nerds.
Like, look, there's so many movies now, there's so many comics, that you need an entire university class just to understand what the hell is going on.
I'm pretty sure that actually might exist somewhere. Something like that.
What?
Yeah. I've read up on a lot of different comics courses and things, and, like, that's one that may actually exists somewhere.
So it would be like you'd like go down to class. It's like, today I'm going to tell you all about like Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Yeah, no, they're like, oh, you know, issue 501, you know, we introduced this.
No, you don't talk about it. Okay, no comics. Okay. No talking about like it's a comic. You talk about like it's a real fiction, like a real universe, and you just talk about the events that have happened.
Mm-hmm.
And so then Spider-Man made a deal with the devil so that it'd save his Aunt May, but then he had to erase his marriage with Mary Jane.
But the problem, I think, with discussing that is comics, like, comic universes exist within different, like, cycles of, like, comics, right?
That would be why it's so funny.
Because, like, how many times has Uncle Ben died in Spider-Man?
No, you just go over the straight face. Then Uncle Ben just died again.
And then, like...
No, because so much of it is so dumb constantly. And, like, then Bucky and Captain America dress like old women so that they can go secretly punch Nazis. And that really happened.
Yeah. In real life.
That's how the war was won.
That was how the war was won.
They don't tell you that in school because they're cowards. No, that might be okay because, like, I don't know. I'm like a pretty big nerd, so I don't have much trouble following nerd crap. But, I mean, some other people might not be able to.
Yeah,
right?
I would fail that class. I saw Guardians of the Galaxy in theaters. I guess a year ago, and I couldn't understand what was going on. I had, like, people are, like, telling me what was happening, and I was, this is beyond me.
You're like, look, he's a talking raccoon, and you're like, I don't know what that is. I've never heard of that. No, that's not true. You have just, like, 100 raccoons in your house at all times, don't you?
Yes, raccoons often rummage through our garbage. Oh. They're wretched creatures.
Yeah. Do they ever make wisecracks in Bradley Cooper's voice?
Only once.
That was a real weird night.
And we had
night.
To kill it. You guys hear about that gorilla that got, like, domed? That just got no-scoped?
Yeah, I think the right thing happened there, but they shouldn't have been in that situation in the first place.
Yeah, the child was in there for, like, 10 minutes before they did anything.
There was this, like, CBC Live update thing they were, like, talking about how, like, look, we did the right thing. We're blameless. And someone was like, how is a 40-year-old able to climb into a gorilla enclosure? And they were like, look, we don't want to point fingers here. It's like, A, that. B, where are the parents? Just watching their baby.
Yeah.
Can't go into the gorilla zoo. Gorilla
also,
pet zoo.
Again, the moment that your child falls into a gorilla enclosure,
like, do something.
You're like... calling people. The people should be doing... There's a lot of people along that chain of command who just fucked up royally.
Yeah,
and
they,
the,
like,
gorilla
started filming
was
the gorilla.
Not one of them.
No, the gorilla was fine. The gorilla... Well, the danger is that if they tried to take the kid away, it might hurt the kid.
Yeah, but it took a while for the gorilla to get to the kid.
Yeah, they could have probably got in there first. Oh, no.
Yeah.
If I was, like, the parent, I would run in there and grab the kid. Like, I'd jump in and grab the kid. Like...
You should be watching your kids. Like, zoos are scary places. Cincinnati's a scary place.
Yeah, exactly. Bad combo. But yeah, maybe we can do a course about, like, animal sniping for safety.
I feel like PETA would call us.
Ethical animal sniping.
Like, animal sniping, it's like, don't snipe an animal just for no reason. But sometimes you really have to. You're going to have to 360-degree no-scope it.
You might be really wanting to snipe an animal, just like a hedgehog cross-map, but look here.
Boom. and then just like the guy jumping around, no scoping the gorilla.
Oh man, you can make montages of ethical animal sniping.
Oh, there's that one like Snoop Dogg gif where he's like spinning his hand in a circle, like popping in and out. It's really good.
Oh boy.
But yeah, back to CJSW recommendations. Another one was the cultural influence of Kramer.
Ooh. So yeah, I like that.
So their initial one was so they couldn't think of the end of this. They were like the cultural influence of something funny, which is also a funny idea.
Yeah.
But then they realized, no, Kramer, the cultural influence of Kramer. How do we, as a culture, how did we learn and change
thanks
from the
antics,
antics of cosmopolitan Kramer?
Yeah, I don't know. I know that like the more Seinfeld I watch, the more awkward my movement gets because I like... I feel like I start walking like Kramer a little bit.
What are you talking about?
that's
not
normal.
A normal thing. What do you mean? Like you start just like bursting into doors and like.
Yeah, but I think George has a greater influence on me.
Oh, that's not a flattering thing to say about yourself.
No, but I don't know. He's quite endearing, I think.
You think he's endearing?
Yeah.
He's like a slime monster. He like eats garbage, literally. He
did not eat garbage.
That's garbage. Like, it's in the garbage
and
can.
And Claire, that was in the garbage on top of like...
You are George.
Okay.
You're literally making the same defense. But anyway, Kramer, how has he changed us? I don't even mean just like individual people, but as like a culture. How has he changed what we think? Well, A, he like cereal stealing. Like, that's important. Maybe that's why we have all those Tricks Are for Kids type cereal-based, like, the cereals being advertised because of, like, thieving or thieving-based cereal advertisements. Because he's always in there. He's always has his, like, elbow deep in some cereal of Jerry's, not his.
I think Kramer might have normalized, like, stealing your friend's food.
Yeah. No, that's what I'm saying, is that, like, he bursts in there, he just opened the fridge, and he'd pull out, like, a whole thing of mayonnaise and eat it with his hands. The camera would be on him the whole time. And then people were watching that, and they were like, that's a fine thing to do now. That's what I have to do.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm thinking when I watch Seinfeld. Like, everything that these people are doing, these are, like, well-adjusted people.
Mm-hmm.
And I can act like this.
And if I act like them, okay, it will be better for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. It's really, like, a guide to how you should
My life will be so much more zany.
Yeah, so much... So many more foibles, and so many more just, like, really... just kind of misunderstandings that kind of escalate to a kind of like funny comedic moment.
Oh yeah. I love that.
I need that in my life. I wish every single part of my life was like that. Also, he like said a bunch of racist stuff once.
And that wasn't Kramer. Sorry,
that was Kramer's alter ego, Dark Kramer.
I was going to say, the world says a lot of racist stuff now, too.
Yeah, that's true.
Coincidence, I think
he may have created racism.
That
Michael Richards.
Is true.
Yeah, just before that, there was no evidence of racism for Michael Richards said those things. No.
Nope.
Just out of the blue. Let's move on to another one. This is a good one. This is actually very closely related. A class about the Bee Movie.
Oh, gross.
Mm-hmm. So.
Oh, the sign. Oh.
Yeah.
For a second, I thought you were talking about like the genre of
the Bee movies.
No,
and I was like, that
no,
exists.
No, although that's how we would advertise it.
But the Bee Movie is definitely a Bee Movie.
Yeah, the irony.
Bee's
of
a
it.
Little high.
Yeah,
a little bit of a grading
curve. If
it
didn't have Seinfeld,
there.
It would be. Lore.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I read an internet essay about how the Bee Movie is a Bee Movie. Like, that's something that exists out there.
So, for those of you who don't know, Jerry Seinfeld, one of the, like, most well-respected comedians on the planet, after Seinfeld was done, he was branching out some new projects, some which worked, some which didn't, did some weird Microsoft commercials with Bill Gates, and he kind of settled down on the idea of doing an animated film, which, you know, there's been some good animated films. But his is going to be about a bee who has sex with a human woman.
Well,
no, that's an accurate description.
it's about a bee who falls in love and gets married to a human woman.
Yeah. Also, Oprah's in it, and she plays the judge who like rules on if the bee is allowed to like love the human woman.
You guys see Matter? I think it's called Matter of a Man. It's this Star Trek The Next Generation Season 2 episode where they try to decide whether or not Data, the android who lives on the spaceship, is a person or not. The B movie is exactly that. The also, B movie is that.
You know what else is exactly
like,
that?
Ted 2. It's Ted 2.
Okay. The best Star Trek episode ever made, B movie and Ted 2 all have the same plot. That's not good for Star
You're
Trek.
You're working with the same like archetype. How do you go so wrong?
With the B movie it's such and Ted 2.
It's such like a captivating like issue, right?
The idea human of
like,
rights?
Yeah, like human rights and personhood, right? And applied to non-human things. As like a metaphor for like injustices.
Should anthropomorphic beings be granted like human rights?
Yeah. Well, like, okay, if a talking bee showed up and it was like, I'm a bee with Jerry Seinfeld. That's a terrible Jerry Seinfeld impression. I'm sorry, everyone. Let's just put that back in the vault.
What's the deal with bees?
That's not bad, Melanie.
Thank you.
That's not bad.
That was bad.
A bee showed up and just like was like, hey, what's up? I'm a bee. I have a human voice and can talk and can understand difficult concepts and can understand love and pain. It's like a guy.
You wouldn't grant... They would not get human rights for a long, long period of time.
Oh, yeah. Well, of course. Because with A, we'd like, the furries would just go crazy. They would have a field day. Everyone just sighs around
Why
me.
Why do we have to bring up the furries?
Because, like... Okay. Anthropomorphic animals show up and they're like, hey everyone, we're like sentient like walking dogs. Like what do you think is the first thing that like furries would just like do like a cartoon jaw drop, eyes popping out of their head and go and then like blast over to them. They would have a field day with that. Two, we'd also want to eat them.
Oh yeah.
We'd want to eat them.
Well, I mean if it was like an animal that we would normally eat, like if it was a like, if there's, like, Porky the Pig, I would eat Porky the Pig, right?
No, you what? You would eat Porky the Pig?
Porky the sentient pig?
Are you saying you would personally be like, Porky, fucking, today is where the train stops for you.
And say then, goodbye to your family, whom you have a concept of.
And then you 360 no-scope Porky.
In an ethical way.
In an ethical way, because like, he got a kid, he's, like, grabbing him. And you just eat him. He's a lot of head meat, though. It's, like, mainly head meat, right?
That's true. But, I mean, like, imagine putting Porky the Pig on a spit.
That's gross.
Over an open flame.
Oh, my God.
Like, do you kill him first, or do you just...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, you
domed
him first.
Him.
Jeez.
Okay, yeah. I was going to say, are you torturing this pig?
No.
It's no, just, I'm just eating him.
Yeah, just eating them.
Okay.
But that's how you, like, you can cook, like, a pig on a spit, you know?
Yeah. I was just thought you were, like, roasting him live.
No, I think that would be wrong.
Just because we're on kind of a cruelty train there and just thought well, it was keeping him together.
That'll be one step too far. But yeah. I don't know if I believe in, like, equal rights for anthropomorphic animals.
Why not? Give me one reason.
Because they're animals and we're humans.
No, okay.
Oh, okay,
what?
Jason, you want a history lesson here? What did people used to say back in the day?
No, here's another thing. Melon. Here's another really important thing. We're like animals, dude. Like, we come from animals.
That's true.
We're like animals. Mm-hmm. And we're just animals that, like are able to try to separate ourselves from the rest of nature, right? Mm-hmm. Put that in your pipe and smoke it.
I'm really seeing the point that the Bee Movie and Ted 2 are trying to make now. With this whole metaphor.
But Star Trek you're still hung up on.
I've never seen that one. It's actually the only one of the three I haven't seen.
Really?
Mm. Yeah.
I like Next Generation best, probably.
Yeah, me too. It is quite good. You like it. Despite it having a lot of similarities with Ted 2 and B-movie. No, here's the thing.
So many.
If like, yeah, it's like the whole walks like a duck, talks like a duck thing, where it's like if you have sentience and you can like say that you have sentience, then by all intents and purposes, you have sentience, right?
Mm-hmm. It's yeah. Like, what do we define as it to be like human? Right? Like that yeah. The differentiates humans from non-sentient animals. Because if you say it's sentience, then once something gains sentience, mm-hmm. does it then get the same like privileges associated mm-hmm. with that?
And okay, so here's just a breakdown of these three movies. Star Trek, what would happen is after Picard said that to like the judge, there'd be like a kind of like hushed moment of silence and you kind of like get a panning, like a reaction to everyone's face as they process that information. B movie, Jerry Seinfeld would say, or make some sort of joke. And then in Ted 2, you would see just a video footage of 9/11 happening. And like, look at this. This is a joke.
I've never seen Ted 2.
That's probably for the best.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, so this is I saved this one for last because I liked it the best. The class is Who's the Boss?
Well, who is the boss?
You're the professor. I'm sitting down, and I'm wondering that question, too. And I expect you to have an answer for me, Jason.
Oh, boy. Well, yeah. I mean, I suppose I would be the boss of this class.
Yeah, but who's your boss?
Well, I mean, there's always a man behind the throne, right?
Yeah, but who's the boss?
Sean, I don't like this line of questioning.
I like this one.
No, it's like, so there's a lot of things you can do. It's like every class is just kind of like a big pit fight to see who the boss is. Or you genuinely try to find out who the boss is.
Yeah.
If there's like one human boss who's like the one that you can trace everything back to.
The boss prime.
This is some Illuminati shit.
New World Order.
New World Order Bilderberg Group. Look it up. Chemtrails. Look it up. Look up false flag, crisis actors. That's all real. Oh, I can't even joke about that one. Do you guys know about what that is? Crisis actors?
No.
Maybe.
It's the conspiracy theory that there's no actual shootings or school shootings, mm-hmm. and it's all just like people hired to like play victims.
Yeah. Good lordy. I saw a bunch of stuff like about that after Sandy Hook.
Yeah. Yeah, that was when that kind of came into the national spotlight.
Yeah, there's a bunch of people who like were like trolling like the parents on Facebook being like, your son never existed.
Well, okay, that's not trolling. Trolling's when you're just like... Okay.
That's like harassing.
Sorry. That's harassing. Like harassment.
Sorry.
Yeah.
My bad.
No.
Harassing and like, verbally assaulting. And things. Bad things. It was bad.
No, it definitely was.
Yeah.
So anyway, but that's the case here.
There's
who's
a lot the
boss? Who's the boss? There's a lot of crisis actors pretending to be the boss.
Well, maybe it's like at the end, it's actually like a long con, like a self-actualization kind of course. So you have to get to the point where you're like, I'm the boss.
Oh my God.
Where you
only, I'm the boss.
Yeah, you get to a point and it's like, yes.
I'm the boss.
And then you get an A.
And it's like, that's what I want you. It's like, okay, there's like the scene where it's like it's the final, and the final's just like 12-point font at the top, like left aligned, who's the boss? ? And you just have like 40 pages of like blank paper, and you're like, and you just rip it in half, and you're like, I'm the boss, to the prof, and the prof is like, did it. You passed the test.
Yeah.
But you're the first one to do it, so everyone else gets an F. Because then they could just copy you.
There can be only one boss.
Only can be one boss. It's the first person to claim boss titleship gets bosshood. So that's just like a big game of like Uno then, basically. Is that like everyone has to just... The first person who realizes that if they just say, I'm the boss, they win the course. That's like... Okay. I like that. But the internet exists.
So this course couldn't run more than once.
Or it could and becomes like a new meta. Or it's like, or it's like, it's the first person to get to class and say they're the boss.
And then everybody just gets the whole semester off.
Exactly. But if you fail it, that's not your permanent record. Like,
it's just like the hugest game of like Russian roulette.
Everyone will know that you're not the boss.
Everyone will know that you're not the boss. Okay, I don't even think it's a fail. I think if you're not the boss, you get like a C. You don't get a fail. Like you shouldn't be punished that harshly for trying because we want a lot of people to try. Mm-hmm. But what will essentially happen is like a okay, I'm sorry. We just created another pit fight situation. Or like it'd be in front of like science theaters at like 2 a.m. and there'd be like 60 people in like a ring with like 2 people beating the crap out of each other for like first place like line privilege. And then the first guy walks in and he's like, you're the boss. Fuck!
Yeah. Well, and you can say, so we could agree that, like, I'm the boss is, like, the right answer here. But there are varying degrees of, like, secondary answers there.
That's
like,
true.
Like, somebody saying, like...
Obama's the boss, sure.
Or, you're the boss.
Yeah.
To the professor.
Like, you're like the boss is not great because it's, like, very submissive.
No, okay, yeah. Guys, it's not who's a boss. It's who's the boss.
Yeah, but
the big boss.
And that's why those answers aren't 100% right. But exactly. Some of them are better than others.
I still like the idea of trying to find, to see if there's one person who has no boss. Like whatsoever.
Again, yourself.
No, that's not true.
You
I got like
bosses,
six bosses.
Sean?
You're the boss of yourself. I'm my own boss.
Okay. No, what about your mom? Your mom is your boss.
What about, okay, that might, what like, about the police? Like. What about the police? They're your boss. They can tell you what to do.
I follow laws not because the police do it, what but about because Rachel I Motley? Think it's oh, like
okay,
moral.
Okay, Mel.
No, that's still not true. I do my work because I like working, not because I'll get shot. Like, that still means I have a boss that will get mad at me if I don't work.
Right. Who's my boss?
The police. We've gone over this already.
The police will get mad at me if I don't work.
The students at the school. They could not want the comment anymore, right?
That's fair.
You're like an elected official. Your boss is your constituents.
Oh, no. I am an elected official.
You would have to be a free man on the land.
Oh, God.
What you would have to do... No, because the laws still apply to them, no matter how much they don't want that.
Then maybe in a democracy, the people are the boss.
No. Bullshit. No, it would have to be someone who's high up and not an elected official.
This is a poli-sci class, by the way.
Oh, this is a poli-sci
class, 100%.
Yes. We're trying to find out who the boss is. And, like, what if it turns out to, like, be... Like some guy at the UN who like organizes all the meetings, you know?
Who's
like,
the boss? Well, he has a boss because what meetings does he organize?
Like between all the world leaders.
Well, somebody has to tell him what meetings need to be organized. He's not entirely versed on every single piece of foreign policy.
That's true, but he's like the top.
Mm. I'm fairly certain that this Who's the Boss, I'm Googling it right now. Isn't there like a sitcom called Who's the Boss? Maybe this is about that.
Are we all too young to know about this?
Oh my God, Who's the Boss is the first thing that comes up when I search up Who's the...
What is Who's the Boss, please?
Oh my God, it is an American sitcom.
From what time period?
It has a 6.5 out of 10 on IMDb.
That's not bad.
No, that's fine.
Yeah.
It's from the 1992 area. And well, here's the description.
That's embarrassing.
A widower and former pro baseball player, Tony Michelli, takes a job as a housekeeper for a high-powered divorced businesswoman, Angela Bauer, and her son. He and his daughter, Samantha, move into the Bauer residence, where Tony's laid-back personality contrasts with Angela's type A behavior. Angela's man-hungry mother, Mona, is also in the mix.
I was just leaning back and smiling.
Angela's man-hungry mother.
Yeah, imagine having a man-hungry mother.
Imagine like having a mother mix. Who must eat men, like a werewolf. Oh my God.
So that
I think she's the boss because who's gonna tell her no? She's a human-eating cannibal.
Mona's the boss.
She's or the boss.
Is Tony the boss? It sounds like Tony's laid back.
I think one of
doesn't give a fuck. No one can tell him what to do.
That's true.
See, here's the thing. Because Tony's a man, so he's used to being the boss. But in this wacky hijinks,
he's working for a woman, which has never happened before.
Mm-hmm. This has never happened in
1992.
No, nope.
It was like, this is some groundbreaking stuff. A man has never worked for a woman.
Oh my God. And it stars Alyssa Milano and Tony Danza.
Tony Danza?
And Judith Light. Oh my God. Sorry.
Wow.
I'm going to go and watch every episode of Who's the Boss.
Oh my God. All right.
What's the runtime of this? How many seasons?
I'm on the Wikipedia article now. Oh, 8 seasons, 196 episodes.
There's like definitely some people listening to this who are like even just slightly older than us and are like, what the, you not know what this is? Like, is this like a revelation to you?
Yeah, this is a big deal.
Yeah, I think it was
one of the most popular sitcoms of the mid to late 1980s.
Oh my God.
It was the series was nominated for more than 40 awards, including 10 Primetime Emmy Awards.
And at 6 Nobel Peace Prizes for Literature.
Mm-hmm.
It actually ended the Cuban Missile Crisis. Okay, let's get back to anything.
Oh
so, like,
God.
What are we doing? We've been talking for, like, half an hour already.
So what do we, like, teach them? What does a lecture consist of if we're, like, just waiting for someone to say that they're the boss?
Oh, my Silence. God. Do we want to do Who's the Boss or do we want to do B-movie? Like, anthropomorphic animals.
I don't know. I don't imagine we'd spend much time on either of them.
Yeah.
Like,
okay, well, how about this? We somehow... Okay. How can we combine
the boss
Who's the
is
boss?
Jerry Seinfeld, but not like regular Jerry Seinfeld or Jerry Seinfeld, like canonical Seinfeld?
Mm-hmm.
B-movie Jerry Seinfeld is the boss.
Okay, what I was thinking for that is who was the person who managed to talk Jerry Seinfeld into doing this? Because they're the boss.
I don't think he was. I honestly think Jerry Seinfeld thought it was a good idea at the time and still thinks it was a good idea now. Like, I think it was his own free will that led him to the B-movie.
No, the funny part is still thinks it's a good idea now. Like, he's defending it. Like people keep coming up to me and saying, Jerry Seinfeld, why were you in the movie about, like, a bee having sex with a human woman? And he's like, because it was the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm. It was like the only morally right thing he could do. Presented with that script.
Yeah, but presented with the evidence available, it was the right choice of action. Maybe Jerry Seinfeld is the boss, and it's about how he somehow is like still trying to like rationalize his choice.
I think it's interesting because Seinfeld doesn't have the normal defense that most people do. Like David Cross is the example that comes to my head. He was in a bunch of like Alvin and the Chipmunks movies, and he said in an interview that he made more money from those Alvin and the Chipmunks movies than he did in the entirety of Mr. Show and Arrested Development.
Mm-hmm. Melanie, thank you for rejoining us.
Sorry, I accidentally started reading positive reviews of B-Movie.
Give us one.
This is a beautifully animated, cleverly executed, warm and funny adventure.
Oh my god.
Here's another. After Shrek the Third's flatulent jokes, the return of that Seinfeldian wit brings animation up a level.
Is this on Rotten Tomatoes?
These are just various critics, like on the Wikipedia positive reviews section.
Okay.
The vibe is loose-limbed and fluky, and the gags have an extra snap that's recognizably Seinfeldian. If I believe in a sitcom afterlife, I'd swear the whole thing was cooked up by Kramer and George's dad.
Whoa. What? That's nuts. Is Seinfeldian like... I've never heard that word. Is it like Kafkaesque? Has it entered the dictionary like that?
Is he saying that like the B-movie is some sort of dying dream of like Frank... of like Frank Costanza?
Frank Costanza would totally dig the B-movie.
like he's like laying on his deathbed. He's like, oh, mm-hmm. The bees have sex with the humans. George.
Oh my
George,
God.
You gotta make this movie.
The B-movie was nominated for Best Animated Feature Film at the Golden Globes.
Everything is.
That's true, but still. Lawsuits? There's lawsuits about the B-movie.
Yeah, there is. A, I tried to fuck a bee. And got stung.
Oh my god.
Literally and figuratively.
This is worse. B-Movie is alleged to be similar to a concept developed in 2000 by a team of Swedish animation students called Bibelon. And the animation students say DreamWorks rejected the idea on the basis of it being too childish.
Whoa.
No one loves... Bees are some child bullshit.
Wait,
are these
guys
actually... when Jerry Seinfeld's voicing the bee, and when the bee's trying to get busy... Oh,
Jerry Seinfeld had a response.
Yeah. And he was
like,
I'll kill you.
He rejected plagiarism claims during his PR tour in Sweden. I'm doing my best not to laugh, and I'm taking it as serious as I can. But it's a bit hard. It is entirely possible that somebody else came up with an idea about making a movie about bees. I knew nothing of this until this very morning, and I hope they're not too upset.
Oh, well, that sounded kind of like a jackass response to that.
Yeah.
It's just like, here's his official response. I'm logging right now onto a Tor net, and I'm hiring an assassin.
A deep web assassin.
I'm hiring a deep web assassin to kill you, and I can do that whenever I want, because I'm Jerry Seinfeld.
Okay, I need to stop looking at this.
Yeah, we need to all stop looking at this.
The most vile fanfic I've ever read online
was
B-Movie. B-Movie erotica.
There's worse. I found last week, just thanks to the AV Club, a Guy Fieri Ted Cruz erotica.
Oh my god, okay. What are we talking about?
That's just like a meme now. I feel like an erotica can't like classify as the worst if it's like made as a meme.
Remember when we found
that's a fair point.
Remember when we found that Magic School Bus one? Oh. Where like everyone was racist?
Where Carlos was so like
was it Carlos who was racist?
Yeah, Carlos was the worst.
No, but Carlos is like Mexican.
Exactly.
Internalized racism.
No, I thought it was one of the like white girls.
I thought it was Carlos.
I think Carlos was
Carlos
like a
vile.
Carlos was a hound dog. I think Carlos wanted to get it on. But I think it was one of the other characters who was the racist mm-hmm. one.
And that one and the B-movie one I read are mm-hmm. like definitely on another level because I feel like someone wrote it like
earnestly.
Genuinely.
Yeah, genuinely.
They
for their
genuinely
own
thought it was a good idea.
Because they like get off on it, right?
They were like, I can't get this world out of my head, this world of my dreams. I must put it down to page. And that was what Frank Costanza said when he wrote B-movie before he died. Yeah. Oh my god.
B-movie.
So class is canceled because of Congress. There's no class that we
it's Congress.
What I'm saying is that we have not made a class. We have been talking for 35 minutes and we have not made a solid course.
No. We've just riffed.
I think just who's the boss? And it's like whoever the first one is to say who's the boss.
Yeah.
But like we do only do it once, and it's just the first person who says who's the boss is the funniest idea.
And they don't even realize it. Literally just walks in, and the professor's like, who's the boss?
So I was like, I'm the boss.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
it's going to be some jackass
who's
just like making a smart comment at the beginning of class one day. Like week five rolls around, And the guy says, "Who's the boss?"
It's like, "I'm the boss."
It's me.
I'm the boss. And he's like, "Yeah, nailed it.
Gold
everyone,
star.
Everyone, go home. Go the fuck home. F's, except for you. I don't care if it was irony. Irony doesn't matter, as we've established in the show.
Yeah.
It's just
irony doesn't exist.
You said it, and you get a good job. So this has been a podcast.
Has it?
I hope so. About man, a lot of things. We've talked about a lot of stuff. But ostensibly, we're about making university courses that are kind of silly.
But we figured out who the boss is.
We did. It's the person who hits that buzzer first. Who's the boss based buzzer, which is just saying who's the boss, and it's me.
There's a boss inside all of us.
There's a boss inside all of us, and we must dungeon crawl through our bodies to get to him and kill him.
We can all be our own boss.
Mm-hmm. We can all be our own boss with this new multi-level marketing proposal.
From Vector Knife Selling.
From Vector Cut Knife Coke Selling.
We're probably going to have to edit that out because...
Yeah.
No, fuck Vector. Fuck College Paint Pro.
Here's who can fuck themselves.
Fuck Epicure.
Fuck Vector.
Fuck Avon.
Avon... The waistband things.
Oh, fuck. What are they called? It Works. It's called It Works.
Yeah, which is the funniest name. It's like...
For a product that definitely doesn't work.
Imagine calling a food, you can eat this.
It's edible.
Yeah, reminder that this is a sort of fun collaboration between The Gauntlet and CJSW, both of which you should check out. The Gauntlet is a student newspaper at the U of C, but we talk about a lot of other stuff. You can find that at thegauntlet.ca. CJSW, you can check out cjsw.com. Bunch of awesome stuff there. They make all their music shows into podcasts. So a lot of awesome musical podcasts. And you can find us, of course, on thegauntlet.ca or on iTunes. Make sure to subscribe and to rate and to review and all of that fun stuff.
Tell your friends.
And do all of that cool, awesome promotional stuff for us for free, and we'd really appreciate it. This has been Course Correction. I guess this is over, right?
Yep.
This I feel is like, the end. We never really like gave our course of, a name.
Okay, it's Who's the Boss?
Well, like, Polly
no,
what?
It's nothing. It just shows up, like, unmarked.
It's just
Who's the Boss? And there's no description.
What, like, requirements does it fill?
None.
It doesn't fill any requirements, doesn't have any prereqs.
You can add an A to your GPA, essentially.
Or an F.
Or an F, which you don't want a lot of.
It's a high risk, low reward class.
It's high
just kind of like life,
immensely
you know?
High risk for like a very minimal award that you could have gotten like through work or something else. But you know what? Yeah, no, so is life. And people and these sheltered college SJWs need to just get their heads out of their butts and figure out who the boss is.
That's right, Sean Willett.
So for this week, signing off, this is Sean Willett and I'm not mad.
I'm Melanie Woods and I'm also not mad.
I'm Jason Herring and I am unbelievably outraged today.